It's time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hello and welcome to episode 42 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Barnes. First, I just want to apologize to you guys for not getting an episode out last week. Got a little bit behind with the summit, but we've got some really great interviews coming up for you. So I hope you'll be tuning in over the next couple of months. I want to thank all of you that registered for the Cowboy Champion Summit and checked it out for doing so. I've gotten some great feedback from many of you about how much you enjoyed it, and I'm so glad. If you happen to miss out on the summit, you can still get the archives. Just go to cowboysummit.com and you can purchase either the entire bundle of sessions or the individual sessions, either way. And please, if you have any questions at all, you can always email me through the contact form at earnyourspurs.com, message me on Facebook, or send me a tweet. Now on to today's guest. Andrea Otley specializes in health and fitness coaching for riders. She has a background in ranching, she's competed in barrel racing and rain cow horse, and she's got a real passion for helping people get fit and healthy and in better riding shape so that they can go out and have more fun with their horses and perform better in the arena. Without further ado, here is my interview with Andrea Otley. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Andrea. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I've been wanting to have someone who specializes in fitness for riders for a while. So I'm really, really excited that you could come on today and teach us all about what we need to know.
Absolutely. I love the topic, extremely passionate about it. So if I get too crazy, just tell me to simmer down.
No, I like crazy. Crazy's good. So let's start off and just have you tell us about your background with horses and kind of what led you to start coaching.
Sure. So I live on a family-owned ranch. It's, I think, going into the fifth generation, owned and operated, settled here in Adel, Oregon, southeastern Oregon. And on the ranch, we use horses for pretty much every facet of the business, use them daily to get the job done with the cattle, you know, from branding to shipping and processing, moving the cattle from different pastures. It really is a way of life for us and a passion for me as well. I've been a horse crazy mama. I've been a horse crazy person ever since I can even remember. When I was 6 years old, Santa brought me a horse. He sprinkled the magic dust on the horse and he flew with him. And Christmas morning, he was tied to the fence. And I just remember, you know, I just have never not known horses. I can't remember learning to ride. I did 4-H. And then, you know, when my husband and I got together, he is a bronc rider. So I wasn't ever really into rodeo that much until I met him. And we started dating and I would go watch him and I'd sit in the stands and that wasn't my deal. So he put one of his horses that he let me just try and put on the barrels. And after that I was hooked. And so became a barrel racer. So from there, I love showing rain cow horses and training them myself, you know, just using we've got a lot of outside country here so we can get them outside and that sort of thing. As I got older and had my babies, I really made the connection between, you know, my energy level, what I was putting into my body, and started making that connection with health and fitness. It was a little bit vain at first in between. After I had my second son, I've got three kids. I've got a 10-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 11-month-old daughter. I realized that the weight itself wasn't coming off as quickly as I wanted it to, just doing what I'd been doing before. We lived a very active lifestyle, you know, just with the day-to-day ranch stuff, riding a lot of horses every day. But the weight, my pregnancy weight, wasn't coming off. And I wanted to get that done because I wanted to fit back into my clothes. You know, I wanted to look good when I rode my horses and showed and stuff. And so I just became inspired to get there and learned a lot on my own about what I was putting into my body and how that was really affecting it. I had the worst diet ever. My first son and I, we would sit on the couch and eat marshmallows by the bag at lunchtime. Like that would be our lunch. I was so bad. I didn't even know how to peel an orange. I ate so crappy. And I don't know, just the light bulb went off one day that was why I felt so bad. And I was tired all the time and stuff. So I just started reading things and started doing some exercise programs myself and had a pretty amazing transformation just by changing my lifestyle. You know, I just really realized I wanted to change more than I wanted to stay the same and just worked really, really hard at it. And then how I became a coach was kind of by accident a little bit. I teamed up with a nurse practitioner here locally, and we did a summer series on living a healthy lifestyle. She was the expert and I was the regular mom who got the results I wanted. And so we gave this free seminar, like a 4-week course, and the room was packed with these people who were wanting this. I thought I was the only one who didn't know what to do. And come to find out, people were craving this information and it just made me feel so good. It was like, this is my second calling. My horses were my number one passion. Helping people get fit and healthy became my number two passion, really, I would say. So that was kind of how I stumbled upon coaching. And then just one thing led to another. And I learned more about it and started my own business that I've been doing for the past 3 years.
Wow, that is awesome. Do you coach people online then, or do you work with people in your local area, or how does that work?
A little bit of both. I tested the waters out here locally and, you know, helped a majority of the 50 people who live here. So when that got exhausted, fortunately, you know, with technology these days, I use the internet and work with people online. And, you know, we've got devices like this, like your podcast and with Skype and all these really cool inventions that I can be in touch with, you know, literally hundreds of people. It is so exciting because I'm very social, but I love living in the middle of nowhere. I love looking out my window right now and seeing nothing but the hay growing in the field. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. So what do you kind of focus on with people when you are coaching them? I mean, is it mostly diet? Is it mostly exercise? Like, what do people need to learn? I mean, what, in your experience, what do you think people need to learn about the most?
Sure. So there are several ways that I approach it. The first one seems to be motivation, because I am not a nutrition expert in the sense that I'm a personal trainer or a dietitian or mm-hmm. any of that. Mm-hmm. I'm just a regular mom that lives on a ranch that loves horses that figured this out. So number one, what I do is motivate people. You know, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I can do it, they can do it, you know, because I am super busy. That's what I hear most all the time is I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I don't want to devote, you know, I don't want to sacrifice myself. I don't have time to give that piece to myself. I would feel guilty, those types of things. So I really help people work through that mental piece and help them see that they really do need to take care of themselves in order to take care of their family. And devoting 30 minutes to an exercise program a day in addition to the active lifestyle that we're already living, you know, helping them find a fitness program that's right for them. I don't design any of the programs myself. I put them in touch with the ones that I use and help them complete them. So that's how I'm a coach. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not a trainer, I'm a coach. And then also, you know, nutrition is so huge. And like I said, I thought I was the only one who didn't know what to eat. And, you know, just learning a few simple things that you can apply yourself it's very simple after we cut out, well, the excuses for one thing, but just sifting through, you know, a lot of the propaganda that we see on TV and you know, just understanding that it's really better to eat real whole foods that can grow from your garden, or, you know, that have a mother, and forget about the packaged stuff, you know, just helping people understand what to eat, how much to eat, and how important that really is.
Yeah. And I think that the motivation piece is probably one of the hardest things for most people. I know it is for myself, because I actually do know what I should eat and that I should exercise. And, you know, I read about this stuff. And a few months ago, I actually hired an online coach to help me for a month just to get in the habit of working out every morning, because I get up at 4:30 in the morning to go to work. It's really, really hard to get myself up earlier than that to work out, but I know that if I don't, it's not going to happen. So just having that person to hold me accountable got me back in the habit of doing it. And then, you know, I was able to kind of go forward on my own, but that seems to be a really important piece for most people, I would think.
Absolutely. And you know, there is a small section of willpower that's involved, but I think what's more important than your willpower is your why power. If you can make that correlation between sacrificing 30 minutes, giving 30 minutes a day, and there really are programs that you know, we don't have to do long hour and a half workouts. We can do 30 minutes, start with 10 minutes that will get you the results. And so why would you do that? You know, it's because you want to be able to ride your horse at the best level that you can. For one thing, it's more fair to your horse if you're at a healthy weight. It's more fair. We love our horses so much, and we want them to enjoy the ride as much as we do. And, you know, safety, you know, when I was helping people ride, safety was always the number one thing that we teach people. And if you are not in good shape, if your core isn't strong, if your balance isn't good, you are at such a huge risk of getting hurt compared to if you were working out and feeling good about yourself while you're getting your horse in shape, or while you're taking the lessons, or whatever it is. You just set yourself up for success. And so you can set some horse goals for yourself, whether you're a beginner rider or you compete aggressively, that's bigger than just you working out. So it gives you a stronger why. I really love hearing about people's whys and having them tell me what they are so I can hold them accountable that way.
Yeah.
And that's really fun.
Do you consider riders to be athletes?
Oh, absolutely. Without a question.
Do you think that riders in general are maybe less in tune with their fitness and health than other athletes?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know if you could generalize it. I would say that there's categories of both. I talk to people who absolutely do not think they need a fitness program because they're so active, because they ride horses and they think that's good enough mm-hmm. for fitness. But hopefully my husband won't kill me, but you know, I work out every single day, 30 minutes a day, come rain or shine. I love it. It helps me get stronger, but it also is, it's got a mental piece for me that I will not give up. My husband works very hard on the ranch, you know, day in and day out, morning till night. And he's been recently motivated to work out with me, because as he gets older, he's just noticed some things and he wants to increase his flexibility and his strength and so on. Mm-hmm. So he started working out with me in the last probably month or so. And it's taken a long time for him to get there because he thought he was in good shape. But I tell you what, when he gets out of bed after doing my workout programs and he's sore and he needs to take Advil because his muscles are sore, he's engaging muscles that he doesn't use mm-hmm. on the ranch, you know? And so I think that's the biggest piece there.
Yeah. I mean, it feels, I know, like having been in that situation where you're riding all day and you're working and, you know, you feel like you're doing a lot, and then you feel like maybe that should be enough, but but it's really not, because you're only using certain muscles most of the time, and maybe you're not taxing them quite enough to really get toned up. And I would think some people though have a hard time, if they are working really hard on the ranch all day, to make themselves also get a workout in, because you know they're tired.
Exactly. And those type of people, I would never recommend that they go out and do like 30 minutes of hardcore cardio where they got their heart rate up the whole time, or even weightlifting, because they do that all the time. But how is their flexibility? How much do they stretch? You know, even if they incorporated 15 minutes of regimented specific stretching, the longevity of their lives, you know, like yoga, Pilates type stuff, the longevity,
right,
you know, as they age is going to help them so much and prevent injuries.
Yeah.
You know, we do. I know a lot of people that are ranchers that have back problems.
Oh yeah.
Or they'll pull a muscle or something. And how much is that related to lack of fitness program?
Yeah, I'm sure flexibility is huge. I mean, I know last weekend we were just cleaning up some wood and stuff around the house, taking a bunch of stuff to the dump, and I lifted something and totally tweaked my upper back, and it's been hurting all week just because I, you know, probably because I didn't stretch beforehand. If I had, it probably wouldn't have happened, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And those things happen for sure, but absolutely.
Yeah. It's easy to do that. And, you know, especially if you don't think about it all the time. So, what do you think are like some of the areas that as riders, we should be really focusing on as far as our fitness is concerned?
As far as fitness, I'd say the number one area is your core. And a lot of times people think your core is just your abs or your six-pack muscles, but it actually goes, you know, from your armpits all the way down to the tops of your legs, and then your backside as well. Strengthening your core, just that whole midsection, is going to help with your stamina. It's going to help with your balance. It's going to prevent you from back injuries. The other important area is definitely your leg muscles. So, you know, incorporating lots of different types of lunges and stretches using your legs will make you a better rider by far. Because what's the first thing that happens if you haven't ridden and then all of a sudden you start riding? I mean, your butt and your legs are so sore that you can't hardly walk. And a funny little story, you know, I recently had a baby almost a year ago, and, you know, so there's a section of time there where you don't ride at all, or where I didn't ride, but I never stopped working out. I took a week off during the delivery where I didn't really do much, but I worked out clear doing lunges because I just wanted to be as prepared as I could be, number one, to have the baby, and number two, to get back on my horse because I couldn't wait for that to happen. So I did a lot of lunges, a lot of squats, and jumped right back into my fitness regimen after I had her. I was riding my horse within a month with absolutely no pain of any kind. I felt like I hadn't even had the baby. And what is so incredible to me compared to my other two kids, I was never sore. And I really believe that was because I strengthened those muscles that we used to ride.
Wow. And it probably made the delivery a little bit easier too, being in such good shape.
It did. It was so crazy. I tend to have really fast babies, but the doctor never made it. She came like instantly before. And yeah, we were joking around because I had her at like 6:30 in the morning. My husband had planned to go brand calves that day, of course. And so within an hour, you know, we're just holding this perfect little baby who, she was absolutely beautiful. And he looks at me and goes, you know, an hour after the, maybe it was two, it might've been 8:30 in the morning. He says, well, guess I can go brand calves now. Huh? You know, just, let's go back to work. So yeah, it was very, I am so happy I did that. And I definitely recommend anyone who is pregnant or considering having a baby, you know, stay as active as you can. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think, and I can't speak from experience because I haven't had any babies myself, but it seems like a lot of people kind of use that pregnancy as an excuse to sort of eat what they want and maybe slack off a little because they know they're going to gain weight anyway and they're going to have to lose it afterwards. But it seems like it would be a lot easier to kind of stay on top of things.
Yes, so true. And I know I did like my first two. I'm like, oh yeah, I can lay around. But my last baby, that's how I was talking about that Y power. I didn't, of course you're going to get heavier. I mean, I didn't care about what size I was or what weight I was, but I did care about how fit I was. I had that Y power. I wanted to set a good example. I wanted to be in as best shape as I could be in. I wanted the recovery to be quick because I had big horse goals and I wanted to hit those. So that's what drove me to stay in shape for sure.
Yeah. So what do you think when it comes to fitness and getting in the best shape that you can in order to be the best rider that you can, do you think diet or exercise is more important, or do you think they're both pretty much equally important?
Yeah, they're very important and they work together, but nutrition, you know, if you had to rank them or put them a percentage on them, we always say your nutrition is going to be about 80% of your results. And that's why, you know, we can get away with a half an hour worth of fitness and do a total body, but the rest of your time is focused on your nutrition because, you know, we eat 3 to 5 times a day, we should be, and we need to be making those healthy choices all day long. And that's your fuel for your workouts. That's the fuel for your rides. That's the fuel for your crazy busy day is what you put in your body. So I would definitely say the focus needs to be on nutrition.
Do you follow any sort of like guideline as far as nutrition? I mean, I know you said whole foods and that kind of thing, but do you kind of lean towards paleo or do you eat bread? Like what's your personal feeling about nutrition?
Great question. So in the last several years, I have experimented with lots of different styles of eating to find what works for me and what's right for me. And through all of that, I have discovered that the very best way, for me at least, is like I said, focused on clean, but never excluding any food groups. I really believe that you should eat a little of each one. And the key is learning how to eat balanced and in the right portions. So the meal plan that I follow is very simple. There's no calorie counting. It's learning how much your body needs of each one. And, you know, I can, it would be a whole nother show, but it definitely is something that's very tailored to the individual, and you can learn how to do this in about 3 days, really, to make it, it's really that easy. It's very simple. Yes, I do eat bread, but not very much. You know, I do eat meat, but not as much as what a person might think. Mostly vegetables and fruit, drinking lots of water. All, you know, nuts and seeds are an excellent choice. A little bit of dairy. It's just learning how to balance all of that. Now, something that I find very, very, very fascinating is metabolic typing. And genetically, I believe that, you know, just from my experience and what I've read and everything, everybody is different. So some people are going to do better on a protein based, you know, where, you know, a good maybe 60% of their diet comes from protein and very little carbs, very little bread, or even no bread. And some people are going to eat that and just feel really crappy, really lethargic, and they need more carbs and a little bit less protein. But that's with the basis of after having cleaned out your diet. You know, so many people will say, oh, this doesn't work for me, I'm just tired all the time. Well, actually, that's your body process, you know, ridding itself of going through some withdrawal symptoms from the caffeine and the sugar that you were eating before. So you have to give these things a chance. You have to first clean up your diet, eliminate the processed foods, eliminate the sugary stuff and the, you know, like the white breads that have absolutely no nutritional value, and add in that clean stuff. And then you can start experimenting and figuring out which one are you. And there's actually tests that you can run to understand how your body processes food.
That is really interesting. So what is the process that you go through with a client who is trying to determine, you know, what they should be eating? Like, how does the testing portion of that work?
Well, you would just start out on a baseline, you know, where you just start out the same as everybody. And then it's very imperative to track what you're eating. So you would write it down and keep a journal for at least 3 days, but longer. I mean, it's a process, and that's what makes it kind of tough for people. You really have to dig into why you're doing it, because it's easy to get off track. But the longer you do it, the more you can understand how you're feeling. So it'd be a process of journaling and writing down everything you're eating, and then understanding how you're feeling. So from there, you can adjust what, you know, if you need more proteins or if you need more carbs, and then go from there to find what's right for you. And once you do, and once you feel amazing and you don't need quickie carbs and sugars and caffeines to sustain a natural energy level, you'll be able to do way more than you have ever done before. You'll be at a natural, healthy weight. You won't even have to worry about that. Your clothes will fit awesome. You'll be able to ride your horse with so much more stamina. Your moods will improve. It's just so simple, you know?
Yeah. And most of us don't take the time to really determine that. We're just like running all the time and eating and, you know, just scarfing something down between this appointment and the next one or whatever. And to actually like take the time to sit down and write down, you know, what you're putting in your body, that is a commitment. And I can see why the why factor is so important.
Yeah. And it's cool now, you know, they've got a lot of really easy tracking apps that we always have our phone with us all the time. So it's really easy just to plug it in into your phone so you don't have to pack around a piece of paper or something. So that makes it helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the why factor a little bit, because I think, you know, for a lot of people, the reason that they would want to get fit is because they want to be skinnier or they want to lose weight. They want to look better in their clothes. But is that enough of a why factor, or do you need something a little bigger than that? Like, I want to lose weight so that because I'm going to my high school reunion or something like that.
I think that is so personal and so individual. And it just really, it has to be equated to what is going to keep you doing it. In the beginning for me, it absolutely was completely how I looked in my clothes. And I don't know, I mean, I don't even know if it's right or wrong or if that sounds vain or anything, but I had that baby and then I had those size 5 pants that I called them my hot pants, and I wanted in those. And that drove me in the beginning to get it done. And then, and I'm really like that, you know, I'm really goal oriented and I love the, you know, just the journey and the success that you feel after you reach those goals. And so, you know, after I got there, then I'm like, well, now what? and I really had to learn how to maintain where I was and kind of had to reestablish my why power. And from there it became bigger, you know, it grew to, well, really, do I want to sit here with Ira and eat a bag of marshmallow? I mean, how is that going to help him? So then it grew into, you know, being a good example for my kids, mm-hmm. and wanting them to make the choices, because, you know, it's so, in this day and age, it's so crazy how many kids are labeled ADHD or, you know, just have trouble in school because they're eating too much sugar, you know,
right.
And so if we as parents, as me as a mom, took responsibility from that at home so that I could actually, you know, we all love our kids and we want them to do the best. And once you kind of make that connection, your why power can grow into a whole new thing. I just started becoming aware of all the benefits from being stronger, you know, just doing, adding some weightlifting in and getting stronger muscles. All of a sudden, when I packed the groceries from the car into the house and I had 4 bags on each arm, I was like, wow, this is not as hard as it used to be.
Right.
My favorite thing is when I'm out riding and I'm riding by myself, you know, just because I want to go for a trot or I'm legging up my horse or whatever. And I go through a gate and chances are it's going to be way out in the middle of nowhere. And it's one of those man gates that's a wire gate that you need Hercules muscles to shut. And there's been times where I'd sit there and I'd be like in tears. I'm like, I'm not strong enough to shut this gate. But then when I go back to the same gate and I grew stronger, I mean, I might as well have been Rocky on the top of the steps with my arms in the air, you know, and I shut that gate and I felt that. So all those little things, those are just my examples of my why power of why I'm going to keep going and get it done. So that was a way long answer, but it's very individual, I guess. And the more emotion and the more dreaming that you can do about your why power, about what it means for you. I have journals filled with things like this because I know how much power that'll give me to accomplish what I want to accomplish. And if I can empower anybody to do the same thing, you know, just to get out a piece of paper and a pencil and write about it, what that means to you. How do you feel? Let's just pretend like you are where you want to be. How does it feel? Get into it. You know, do you smile more? Are you happier? Is the quality of your life better? And that's really what it's all about, is just improving the quality of your life and what that means specifically for you.
So do you recommend that people journal, and kind of going along with that, how do you recommend that people track their progress? I mean, should they weigh themselves? Should they not? Should they be, you know, checking body fat percentage, or how's the best way to go about that?
Sure. So after you've determined why you're doing this and all of that good stuff, then absolutely you need a starting point. So I definitely recommend taking measurements, taking weight, and recording that, and then just setting some goals, understanding where you want to end up. So what is your ideal weight? What is your ideal size? What is your ideal body fat? And that's something that I can visit with each individual person about and help them decide what their ultimate goal is and a realistic time period for hitting that. And then we do, you know, progress. Every 30 days is a great time to measure how far you've come. If you need to do it a little sooner, then weekly is fine. It's just not something that you want to dwell upon. You want to set that goal and then just forget about it and enjoy the journey. Put everything you have into today's work, into today's diet, into today's, you know, meal plan and nutrition and today's workout. Give it all you've got today and let the journey take care of itself. And then pretty quick, the week goes by, you can see where you're at, or the 30 days goes by. I mean, it's amazing how fast, you know, 60 days, 90 days goes by, as long as you're diving into it. Pictures are an excellent way to track your progress. And you never have to show them to anybody, but it really is very powerful. I have a hard time getting people to take pictures of themselves, but it is very, very powerful, because I believe in you enough that you are going to transform into another picture, and you will be so glad you did. You know, when you start with a starting picture and then have an after picture, you'll be so glad that you can go, wow, look at how far I've come. Look at where I am now.
Yeah.
Other thing that I wanted to say, you know, with the scale, I think it is important to know what you weigh, but you can't always, I have a lot of people that get frustrated because it's not, the numbers aren't changing. They're doing all the workouts, they're eating right, but the scale isn't going down. And there's a lot of factors that can be involved, but a big one is if you're building muscle, muscle is a lot denser and smaller than fat. It takes up a lot less room, but it weighs more than fat. So odds are you're melting fat off your body, and muscles are growing. So your body is changing, you know, composition, but the scale isn't moving, or it might even be going up. So that's why I think it's important to work with a coach, so that you can talk about all these things and go, okay, is that what's going on for me? Whereas if you're trying to do this by yourself, you might see that scale go up and get very frustrated and quit. And we wouldn't want that.
Right. Right. Plus with weighing yourself, you know, your weight can fluctuate based on how much water you're retaining and that kind of thing too. It can vary quite a lot. So would you say that there are, depending on what somebody's goals are with their writing, say, you know, you're working with somebody that wants to get fit so they can be a better writer, do you have anything specific that you would work on with somebody based on discipline? Like, depending on what they're doing, you know, what their goals are with their horses, what events they're competing in, is there anything that you would work on more with somebody who's a reiner versus someone who's doing some other type of event? You know, is there anything that they need to work on that's specific to their discipline that you would help them with?
Sure. Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it starts with the individual first. You know, are you a person who needs to lose 50 pounds so that you can safely ride your horse down the trail? You know, we'd do something a lot different than a person who had had already come a long ways and just was trying to lose that last 10 pounds or something, you know, so individually there, but we've already talked about that. I would say, you know, just looking at myself, I do a lot of different disciplines, you know, rein cow horse versus barrel racing versus, you know, I like to rope a lot. And so right now I am focusing on a competition, on a roping competition that's coming up. So I tell you what, I am working a lot more on upper body strength, shoulders, arms, definitely core, because I think that's always going to be important, that you wouldn't necessarily use to, you know, show rein cow horses or trail ride. So I think always you're going to focus on legs and core, then it's just going to be specific towards what you're going to do. So yeah, I definitely think so.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't really thought about that, but for if you're roping, you use a lot of muscles that, you know, you don't necessarily use in other disciplines. So that's interesting.
And I really like to practice, you know, and rope the dummy a lot. And if, you know, I rope the dummy for 15 minutes and I still have time to rope it more, but my arm is too tired, you know, it's going to be beneficial to me to focus on getting that stronger so I can practice longer, you know, so.
Yeah, good point. Well, Andrea, before we start wrapping up here, how can people find you online? What's the best way?
Sure. So in the future, I want to develop more so I am easier to find. But right now, probably the two easiest ways are just email. And my email is otleyandrea, OTLEYANDREA @gmail.com. So you can always shoot me an email. And then my Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/AndreaOtley1. You can shoot me a message there. Like my page, I post very consistently daily motivational stuff mostly. So I would love to see you there for sure.
Awesome. I'll link to those in the show notes. So if anybody wants to look you up, they can find your episode at earnyourspurs.com and check that out. So I just have one final question for you before we wrap up. And I always ask this to all of my guests. So I'm curious to hear your answer. What do you think is the most important quality for any good cowboy to have?
Wow. The thing that just first came to my mind is integrity, you know, and I think that's what makes us such cool people, but just what choice do you make when no one else can see, you know, just that integrity of a cowboy. Absolutely. Just that honest being a good person that you can just trust and know that it has your back.
That is a great answer. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been great chatting with you, and I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, Alyssa. I really appreciate you having me on. It's been fun. I love talking about this.
Well, it shows, and I appreciate you, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds great.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Andrea Otley. I know for me, someone like Andrea would be extremely valuable just to help motivate me and keep me on track. You know, I know that I need to be working out. I know that I need to be eating healthy, but sometimes I just need somebody to crack the whip on me a little bit. So if you tend to be a little bit that way too, I highly recommend getting in touch with Andrea. I know she would love to help you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I really appreciate you being here. If you have a moment and you haven't left us a review in iTunes yet, I would so appreciate it if you would just hop on over to iTunes and click on the ratings and reviews tab to leave us a quick review. It's the one thing that really helps us sort of stand out in the search results for iTunes, which means more people can find the show. And hopefully that will result in spreading the Western lifestyle far and wide. Also, if you'd like to let me know what you thought of this episode, why don't you join our Facebook community at earnyourspurs.com/cowboycommunity on Facebook. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode and any questions that you may have or things that you want to share in the group. There's a lot of great members in there and we would love to have you. With that, thank you so much for being here today, and I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.